राम कबीर। सदगुरु श्री जीवन जी महाराज मेमोरियल फाउंडेशन प्रेजेंट्स एन ऑडियो स्टोरी टेलिंग सीडी ऑफ एन एक्सपोजिशन ओरिजिनली रिटन इन हिंदी बाय श्री प्रेमजीवन स्वामी एंड ट्रांसलेटेड इन इंग्लिश बाय अपूर्व स्वामी नेम्ड द एसेंस ऑफ जीवन जी कर्टसी विथ लॉट्स ऑफ लव blessings and compliments to our new generation of Ram Kabir Uda Bhakta Samaj from Srimati Lataben Ishwar Bhai and Sri Ishwar Bhai Vrindavan Bhai Patel and family from Chhatrali, India and are currently living in the USA. Recording done by Sound and Shape Studio by Nirmal Bhagat. English narration by Apurva Swami and Khyati Vyas. Audio editing by Apurva Swami.
Chapter 1. Life of Jeevanji.
रामानंदी संप्रदाय मा उदा जीवन दास कुल कर्म करणी तजी करी राम चरण की आस
विच लिटरली मीन्स इन रामानंद कम्युनिटी देर कम्स उदा जीवन दास सैक्रिफाइसिंग हिज फैमिली एंड हिज नीड्स to fulfill his devotion to Lord Ram. Sadguru Sri Jeevanji Maharaj lies in the grand old traditional hierarchy of the famous saint of Kashi, Ramanandacharya. Jeevanji Maharaj entered into the Kabir tradition by the ceremony of Kanti Diksha offered by Gopal Das Ji, who was a Kabir follower living in the district of Choranda, Gujarat.
Not much is known of Jeevanji Maharaj's childhood. But it is known that he was born in the village of Karamsad, Gujarat, in the year 1593. He was born in an Amin family of Lewa Patidar. Unfortunately, his parents' death had occurred during his childhood. Grief-stricken by this incident, Jeevanji Maharaj left his home at the age of 11 in the year 1604. He arrived at a village named Gahej Goriad near Vadodara and got involved in a group of saints in hope of beginning a new life. A life that awakened his curiosity to find God, which led his way to the Kabir tradition. In his childhood, he got inspired to attain spirituality and meet the Supreme Lord Himself. Day after day, his thirst for spirituality kept on increasing. During his travels across Gujarat and the neighboring states along with his group of saints, he came to a village named Keslu where he met a follower of the Kabir tradition, Gopal Das Ji, in the year 1609. He was only 16 years old at that time. He was unable to choose an appropriate path for himself after his first meeting with Gopal Das Ji.
After this meeting though, one thing can be said for sure that it ignited a series of introspective thoughts in Jeevanji Maharaj's mind. Time kept on passing and his confusion kept on increasing. At that time, a strange incident happened. In a very small village located on the banks of River Dadar, he met an old wise man. The old man advised Jeevanji Maharaj that if he wanted to understand religion, God, and spirituality in its true essence, then he should again meet Saint Gopal Das Ji of the Ram Kabir tradition in the village of Choranda to seek his blessings. The old man who suggested Jeevanji Maharaj to do this was also a saint named Gopal Das, who was a resident of Shahpura.
On the 13th day of Aso month in 1627, Jeevanji Maharaj arrived in Choranda. There he had intense conversations on many topics and also cleared all his doubts asking numerous questions. Satisfied by Guru Gopal Das Ji's spiritual teachings, Jeevanji Maharaj decided to accept Choranda's Gopal Das Ji as his supreme spiritual mentor, also known as Sadguru, on the full moon day of autumn, which we call Sharad Purnima. Jeevanji Maharaj spent 4 years in his mentor's sanctum in Choranda learning about spirituality.
After 1 year, a terrible famine spread across India, which caused Gopal Das Ji to leave Gujarat, taking Jivanji Maharaj along with him. Jivanji Maharaj and Gopal Das Ji arrived in a village named Chanderia in the Malwa district of Rajasthan, where both separated after spending a few days together. Guru Gopal Das Ji went to Ujjain and lived there till his last breath. When Jivanji Maharaj heard about Guru Gopal Das Ji's demise, he went straight to Ujjain for his guru's death ceremony before leaving for Jagannath Puri.
After Jagannath Puri, he went on to Chitrakoot, Kashi, Ayodhya, and on till he reached Dantnagar in the Himalayas. In Dantnagar, Jivanji Maharaj went into deep meditation, and there he felt eternal peace. But during his travels, after seeing the poor condition of people's lives in the country, he realized that he should go back and help those people. He heard his inner voice, and with a new thought and energy, he left the Himalayas for Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan, he met Hari Ram Vyasji. After a long discussion between them, Vyasji admitted that all his doubts were cleared. Later, he went to Uttar Pradesh in a village named Bareilly, where he met a tradesman named Naran Das Khatri, who was dealing with a lot of problems. He was living a miserable life. When Jivanji Maharaj resolved his problems, Naran Das Khatri decided to follow Jivanji Maharaj on his journey ahead and left his home in Bareilly with his entire family.
Jivanji Maharaj returned to Chanderia with Naran Das Ji's family, where a lot of people were waiting for him. He stayed with them for a few days, had deep interactions which resolved many conflicts from people's minds, due to which some of the families decided to follow Jivanji Maharaj on his journey and make him their Sadguru. 9 families joined him on his way back to Gujarat. All of them returned to the banks of River Dhadhar in Shahpura. Many families also joined him from remote villages like Samiala, Vadsar and Dhanyavi.
On the day of Sharad Purnima in 1627, Jivanji Maharaj established the Uda Bhakt Ram Kabir Parampara with the support and help of all his saint followers. The whole community pledged to begin a new life in that new generation and to remember that day in history as the day when people from all communities, castes and classes united to form a new individual identity known as Uda Bhakt. Some were Khatris, some were Marwadis, Rajputs, Banyas and Brahmins, but now all had a unified identity of Uda Bhakt, and the expression of Ram Kabir came into being. Everyone no longer feared the Brahmins and the priests. Jivanji Maharaj gave the entire community a life that was free of sacrificial practices known in Hindi as Karmakand. It was a great revolution of that time. Jivanji Maharaj helped regain everybody's consciousness and self-confidence. The society was filled with blind faith, superstition and hypocrisy. But Jivanji Maharaj showed them a different way, a way in which there were only 4 devotional substances or bhakti padarath to hold on to, which were Tilak, Tulsi, Ram Naam and Sant Sangat. In addition, he also told them to sacrifice all those substances which would drag them towards superstition, because they would only reduce their strength and prohibit them from finding God. Jivanji Maharaj said, "No penance, no pilgrimage, no religious vows, no austerities, no all-night religious vigils, no false beliefs, no ritual offerings, no studying of Vedas, no incantation, no ritual sacrifices, no ceremonial rituals, no theism, and no ritual significance of an auspicious moment."
Jivanji Maharaj's message was loud and simple, and so it has been easy for common people to understand it. Slowly, more and more people began to join. With Guru Gopal Das Ji's consent, Jivanji Maharaj married a Rajput girl, Harmaba, and moved to Shahpura with his family. He strongly believed that one should make one's own livelihood, and therefore he practiced agriculture in Shahpura to earn for his family's livelihood. Jivanji Maharaj had 5 children. Vasant Das was the eldest of them. With his father's consent, Vasant Das settled in Khangad Sheri in Surat with Keshav Das Soni and promoted the message of Ram Kabir Parampara from there. Jivanji Maharaj's second son, Shyam Das Ji, stayed with his father. The third son was named Harak Ji, who was widely known as Baba Kaka, and he settled in a village called Nana Amadra. His fourth son was Govind Das Ji, who was known as Daji Kaka, and he settled in a village called Tandalja. His last son was Akshay Das Ji. Unfortunately, his whereabouts are unknown to us, but according to a folk tale, it is believed that he lived in a village called Kukash. Yet, there are no signs of his presence seen over there.
Jivanji Maharaj had a strong principle that one shall never be greedy about money or property, and always used to say that Ja shir kar jivan dharo, ta tal kar odo nahi.
Meaning, he shall never ask for any favors for his livelihood in return for all the blessings he bestows upon his followers. Jivanji Maharaj was a worldly man, and so were his followers. He didn't force anyone to sacrifice their assets and also mandated them to practice agriculture for their own livelihood. Therefore, people from different states started buying land close to Jivanji Maharaj's farm and started practicing agriculture. In his sect, there were neither any temples constructed nor any priests made.
During the last stages of his life, Jivanji Maharaj wished to embark on a journey to Dwarka. In 1672, when he was 79 years old, he began his journey towards Dwarka, accompanied by some of his close followers and his second son, Shyam Das Ji. His followers really enjoyed the travel and understood the true spirit of Jivanji Maharaj's spiritual importance of their journey to Dwarka. After this journey, Jivanji Maharaj was widely praised in the nearby villages. After spending about 1 to 2 years in Shahpura, he decided to visit his guru Gopal Das Ji's village, Chorinda. On his way to Chorinda, he came across a village named Punyad, where he halted for rest. During his stay in Punyad, the villagers got so impressed by an incident that happened there that they encouraged Jivanji Maharaj to reside in Punyad for the rest of his life. He couldn't resist them, and so he settled in Punyad, leaving his home in Shahpura.
One day in Punyad, he met Krishnadas Dave, who had come all the way from Aglod in the district of Mehsana in his search for spirituality. Krishnadas Dave was born in a Brahmin family and therefore was a believer of sacrificial practices. After a series of spiritual discussions, Krishnadas Dave was so impressed by Jivanji Maharaj that he decided to take Kanthi Diksha from Jivanji Maharaj and become a follower of Vaishnava, phrased by Jivanji Maharaj as Uda Anin Vaishnav. Krishnadas Dave quotes, Ab main anin vrat liyo, kahu ko bartan na jaye chuyo, to sakut ann liyo na jaye, kaise bhog lagaun bhai.
Which literally means, now I have taken an anin vow, neither can I use anybody else's vessels, nor can I eat immoral food. How will I fulfill my holy vow?
Now, let's understand, what do we mean by immoral food? In Gujarati, there goes a saying, Anna tevo odkar, which means, we are what we eat. With regards to this, Kabir ji had coined a word, sakut, which refers to a person who is devoid of true universal morals and adheres to vices. In the previously mentioned Sakhi, Krishnadasji suggests that Uda Anin Vaishnav should refrain from using vessels or even food cooked by such people, which alerts us to keep a check on the quality of our association.
Later on, Krishnadasji went back to his home in Mehsana and started spreading the message of Uda Anin Vaishnav and established the Ram Kabir community in the nearby villages. In 1737, after celebrating the occasion of Janmashtami and bestowing his good wishes and blessings to all his beloved followers present there, Jivanji Maharaj had his last breath before resting for eternity at the age of 88 in Punyad.
Chapter 2, A Song of Ram and Kabir.
How did the expression of Ram Kabir come into existence? It is your right to ask this question and our duty to give a suitable answer. Ram is a well-known name in India because it is the name of our honorable worshipped God. His temples are not only in India but also all across the world. He is an eminent personality and numerous books have been written on him.
Kabir was a profoundly wise philosopher, born in Kashi, orphan by birth, abandoned by his mother, anarchist in nature, lived in poverty and casted out as an untouchable Muslim weaver. When compared to our Honorable Lord Ram, he was way too inferior in terms of popularity.
Ram Kabir is a very unique phrase that has been derived from integrating two different personalities of Ram and Kabir. It is very important to understand the illustration of two complementing characters.
The phrase Ram Kabir was first uttered in a place known as Kabirwad in Bharuch district of Gujarat by Prince Chatursi of Jaisalmer, who was later widely known by the name of Gnani Ji Maharaj. Now let me narrate the incident that took place in Kabirwad. Kabirwad is a small river island in the river Narmada, where a huge banyan tree lays its roots. Beneath this tree, Prince Chatursi of Jaisalmer would come for meditation after he renounced his throne. Kabirji came across this place during his journey in Gujarat and met Chatursi. Chatursi was left awestruck at the sight of Kabir. In Saint Kabir's eyes, he saw something that no one else could. He saw the perception of Lord Ram in Saint Kabir. It wasn't his illusion, but his cognizance and the phrase of Ram Kabir articulated from his mouth. He goes on to ask Kabirji, "Who are you, Saint?" "Saint, please, my curiosity needs an answer."
"This being is called Kabir."
"I don't want to know your outer traits. I want to know what lies within you."
"Within me lies a part of the Supreme Soul, which is also inside you."
"Saint, why can I sense Lord Ram in you?"
"Chatursi, that same Ram is also inside you. Just make yourself clear as pure water, and you will also see the Ram within you."
What a wonderful expression this conversation offered us, redefining our thoughts and traditions. That incident gave us a new definition of God, new customs, and a new culture. The expression of Ram Kabir became widespread not only in Gujarat but also in the nearby states.
There is a wonderful mix of two characters here. It means that we don't see God Ram and human Kabir different in any way. God and men are of the same form. Kabir, who understands Ram and worships him, carries a part of Ram in his own soul. That's why the expression of Ram Kabir is so wonderful and befitting.
Kabirji has told that Ram dwells within us all. When our conscience becomes pure, then our inner Ram reveals himself. Religion is not about formality, but about our demeanor. Sadguru Sri Jivanji Maharaj has taught us the importance of our demeanor because Kabirji's principle was about the purity of our soul and our attitude. That's why Chatur Singh saw Ram inside Kabirji.
Kabirji says that Man mera nirmal bhaya jaise chokho neer piche piche hari firat kahat kabir kabir,
which literally means when my soul became pious as pure as water, God started following me chanting Kabir Kabir. To say it means that our true religion is to make our soul pure and clear and free of all ritualism.
We take the name of Ram Kabir because Kabir became so pure and pious by chanting the name of Ram that there was no difference between him and the Ram residing in his soul. They had become one, and that's why Ram Kabir is a single word. The difference between you and me gets overshadowed by the feeling of us, where the perception of an individual identity gets destroyed and our soul meets the Supreme Soul. Ram Kabir alludes that sentiment of unity.
Jivanji Maharaj has written a book to express this feeling of unity named Naam Roop No Mel. Sadguru Sri Jivanji Maharaj Memorial Foundation has published this book in Gujarati in 2016 named Dal Bhitar Didar.
Chapter 3. What does our culture say?
Every other religion in the world has its own rules and principles. Likewise, we also have our own principles and cultural rites. Firstly, we have been given four devotional substances by Jivanji Maharaj to hold on to, which were phrased by him as Bhakti Padarath, which are Tilak,
Tilak of Gopi Chandan on the forehead.
Second is Tulsi,
a garland of Tulsi around the neck.
The third, Ram Naam,
the expression of Ram Kabir to greet people.
And lastly, Sant Sangat,
to regularly participate in our social gatherings that take place on places which are named by Jivanji Maharaj as Parthara of Sakal Namdev Kabir.
Now let's understand the concept of Parthara, which is unique to our culture. Parthara is a voluntarily appointed home in every village in our community, where one finds only a rug and water. The sole purpose of these gatherings is to unite our fellow Uda Bhakts under one roof and to sing the songs of our devotion to Lord Ram. Jivanji Maharaj has abolished all the sacrificial rituals and incantations practiced by Brahmin priests. Our main principle that Sadguru Sri Jivanji Maharaj has given to us is that all followers have a unique identity known as Uda. Now we know why we call ourselves Uda Bhakts. Uda is our caste. Putting all sects and religions aside, all those individuals united under the shadow of Jivanji Maharaj are called Uda.
The most important principle for all our fellow Uda Bhakts is the purification of our ethics and thoughts, and primarily the purification of speech. For the purification of speech, Jivanji Maharaj has changed the usage of certain words. For example, jal
instead of pani,
bhojan or prasad
instead of khana.
He has also changed the names of some of the Indian recipes like Shyam Bhogi,
which is otherwise called Bakra.
To maintain the integrity of our speech, our habits should be clean. Therefore, Jivanji Maharaj has given us a community which does not consume tobacco, liquor, meat, fish, etc. Jivanji Maharaj also converted all the ritual contexts of marriage into pure Gujarati language and stripped the rank of Pandit priests and distributed it among our fellow Uda Bhakts. Even ceremonies like baby showers were made simpler.
Events of death are often followed by grief, sorrow, shedding of tears, and periods of abstention. Jivanji Maharaj removed these all, redefining death as Swadham Gaman, which means that our soul becomes free and drives itself back into its original form, a form which existed before our birth. In other words, it can also be explained as our soul's homecoming, which is sans grief, sorrow, shedding of tears, or any kind of abstentions. He also abolished all the rituals practiced after death and introduced a new practice, in which the dead body is taken on a passenger conveyance, widely known in Hindi as palki, to the cremation ground instead of tying it with the deathbed.
The best thing about our culture is that Jivanji Maharaj eliminated race and gender inequalities and gave equal rights to all Uda Bhakts. Whether it is a social, religious or a family matter, there is no distinction between men and women. He also abolished the practice of Rajaswala, in which women weren't allowed to do daily chores and worship God during their menstruation period. In our tradition, women have been given rights to worship God in any condition. In our social events as well, women's position has been respected.
Jivanji Maharaj had put enormous thought and knowledge in giving us all these principles. With this, he also mandated all to completely remove the 14 symbols of superstition from our lives, which are Tap,
penance,
Tirth,
pilgrimage,
Vrat,
religious vows,
Yog,
austerities,
Jagran,
all-night religious vigils,
Manyata,
false beliefs,
Argya,
ritual offerings,
Ved Adhyapan,
studying of Vedas,
home,
incantation,
Yagna,
ritual sacrifice,
Kriya Karmakand,
ceremonial rituals,
Shat Darshan,
theism,
and Mahurat,
ritual significance of an auspicious moment.
Jivanji Maharaj said that these 14 actions would only lead our community into blind faith. Finally, Jivanji Maharaj told that we should avoid the company of those who believe in superstition and practice sacrificial rituals.
Chapter 4th, Our Festivals.
All human beings celebrate some or the other festival in the world because celebrations are very dear to mankind. Festivals are celebrated in each and every corner of the world.
Likewise, our Uda Bhakt Ram Kabir Parampara also has its own unique festivals, in which we all get together and celebrate the occasion. Our festivals are
Govardhan Samo.
According to the Hindu calendar, the first day of our new year is the first day of Kartak Sud. This day is known as Govardhan Samo. We celebrate this day with much enthusiasm. People wake up early in the morning and give their best wishes of the new year to one another. Prasad is also offered to one another to spread happiness. On this occasion, our community specially performs Otshav Kirtan, in which poems composed by Vaishnav saint poets are sung together in chorus. A collection of these poems can be found in the book named Uda Dharma Pancharatna Mala, starting from page number 406. It is said that after the end of rainy season, Shri Krishna, made the people of Vrindavan perform Govardhan Puja. As a result, all the Vaishnav devotees remember that day for the means of performing Govardhan Puja. But all the Uddhava Bhakts remember this day as a means of inner worship along with performing Ochav Kirtan.
Moving on to the next festival, Vasant Utsav
or Spring Festival.
Similar to the English calendar, the Hindu calendar has 12 months and 6 seasons. The first season is called Shishir,
which means winter,
and consists of the months of Kartak and Magshar. The second season is Hemant
or fall,
which consists of the months of Posh and Maha. Other seasons are Vasant,
which is spring,
Grishma,
which is summer,
Varsha,
which is monsoon,
and Sharad,
which is autumn.
Vasant or the spring season has been given much importance as this is the season of happiness and love. Nature blooms around all corners. During this season, Uddhava Bhakt Samaj particularly sings poems composed specifically for this season. These compositions have been collected from the Uddhava Dharma Pancharatnamala starting from page number 416. This is the festival of colors and happiness, but Kabirji has appealed to us to celebrate this festival with our internal colors and happiness rather than materialistic colors as portrayed in his compositions as Nirgun Vasant. Secondly, saint poets like Paramanand, Premanand, Surdas and Narsimha Mehta have written poems on Sagun Vasant. We sing both Sagun and Nirgun songs of the spring season.
Moving on to the next festival, which is Hindola Utsav. This is a unique festival in our monsoon season. With immense pleasure, we recite the poems based on the feelings of Leela, performed by Shri Krishna along with Radha and her sakhis when he used to go for cow grazing. Sadguru Shri Jivanji Maharaj has also composed sakhis based on the happiness of monsoon. These compositions can be found in the Uddhava Dharma Pancharatna Mala starting from page number 480.
Moving on to the next festival, Sharad Utsav. This is the last festival in the Hindu calendar and is of great importance. Rain has almost stopped and crops are almost ready in the farms or already have been harvested. This is very much enjoyed because the entire year's grain is about to come in the house. To express this happiness, Shri Krishna had organized Ras Leela in Vrindavan, in which he played Garba with Radha and her sakhis. A lot of literature has been written about this Ras Leela and more will be written in the coming days. This festival has been of special interest to the poets and the devotees. Huge celebrations are organized on the land of Lord Shri Krishna during Sharad Purnima. On this day, Jivanji Maharaj took Kanthi Diksha from Guru Gopal Dasji and accepted him as his Sadguru and became a Kabir follower. 5 years later on this day, Jivanji Maharaj created history by establishing the Uddhava Bhakt Ram Kabir Parampara in Shahpura. That's why Sharad Purnima is of great importance to us.
Moving on to the next festival, Ram Janma Mahotsav. This festival is celebrated throughout the world on the 9th day of the waxing phase of the month of Chaitra, known as Chaitra Sud Navami in the Hindu calendar. Uddhava Bhakt Samaj recognizes this festival by the name of Krupanath Mahotsav because Ram is a very adorable and a kind personality and always bestows his good wishes or Krupa onto his devotees. Sadguru Shri Jivanji Maharaj has mandated all of us to reach Punyad with whatever prasad we get without any invitation as it is the celebration of the birth of our beloved Krupanath. Since the establishment of our tradition, no one has ever received any kind of an invitation for this fest. Still, the whole Samaj gathers together to celebrate this Mahotsav with much enthusiasm.
Moving on to the next festival, Janaki Ji Janmotsav. This festival is celebrated on the birthday of Sita Ji, who is well known as Lord Ram's wife. This festival is observed on the 8th day of the waxing phase of the month of Falgun, which is Falgun Sud Ashtami in the Hindu calendar. In North India, it is also known as Sita Ashtami. In our tradition, the celebrations of this festival haven't been observed in the past years. The importance of this festival has been completely forgotten since a long time. The truth is that nobody ever knew when this festival came and went.
Now moving on to the next festival, Shri Krishna Janma Mahotsav. Who doesn't know Shri Krishna? His worship in India is done with great respect. Shri Krishna was born on the 8th day of the waning phase of the month of Shravan, known as Shravan Vad Ashtami in the Hindu calendar. Shri Krishna's lovers and devotees from all over the world celebrate this day with great enthusiasm. Sadguru Shri Jivanji Maharaj has called both Ram and Krishna as Krupanath and also mandated us to reach for their celebration without invitation. We believe that Ram and Krishna are a form of the Supreme Soul. They are not different. They are just two different names given to one God.
Moving on to the next festival, Radha Ashtami. This festival marks the birth anniversary of a gopi of Vrindavan and Lord Shri Krishna's beloved Radhaji. On this occasion, we gather and sing the poems composed on Radha, who hails from Vrindavan.
Moving on to the last festival, Samapacham. This day is celebrated in the memory of our supreme spiritual leader and the founder of our Uda Bhakti tradition, Sadguru Shri Jivanji Maharaj. We celebrate this day on his journey inwards to his part in the Supreme Soul. This day is also observed in the Hindu calendar as Rishi Panchami. Our Uda Bhakta community celebrates this day in the memory of our Sadguru on Samapacham. There is a practice of reading the last chapter of the Samagam written by Haridas Nadiyada in every village in our community.
This day stands in our community with one more cultural significance. In the year 1678, on the day of Samapacham, Jivanji Maharaj gave freedom to women from the disgraceful ritual of Rajaswala and requested everyone to distribute prasad of Sukhdi on that auspicious occasion. He also assured them that by doing so, they are not performing any sin. Since that day, the Uda Bhakta community celebrates the occasion of Samapacham.
Uda Dharma has always promoted the message of formless devotion, that is Nirgun Bhakti. That's why majority of all our celebrations and festivals start with singing of sacred poems or Achav Kirtan. Here, there is no place for ritual solemnity or fake grandeur. In our festivals, we only spread sweetness by distributing prasad of Sukhdi after every celebration.